You're listening to KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, and it's time for our weekly check-in with Kitty Mayo, editor of the Lake County Press. I am Katya Gordon. I'm filling in for Tom Kohler, and full disclosure, I am also a reporter for the Lake County Press. So, Kitty, nice to see you on the radio.
Hi, Katya. This is kind of fun. We've never done this before.
No, we haven't. I guess that's the joy of a small town. But anyway, let's just go ahead and get into it. Let's talk first about bike safety. You're going to have an article in there related to something that happened just this week.
Right. So some people know that Lisa Knight, who is also co-owner of Night Vision, which is at the end of town, coming in from Duluth, and she was hit in the crosswalk going from that location to Superior Hiking Trail, where she also works. She's okay. She was injured. She broke some bones, and she's currently in inpatient rehab in Duluth. But out of that, in conversations with her husband, Jeff, and Lisa, there was an idea that we should talk about bike safety in this town. So those people who ever pass through Two Harbors know very rapidly there's some neat stuff on the lakeside of town, lots of trails, walkable areas and bikeable areas. And then on the other side of town, the non-lakeside, there are also some really neat trails and places to move between. But crossing that corridor, and Katya, I know you do it all the time, I do it all the time, it's a bit scary. If you're not at it, even if you're at a controlled intersection with a light, I still feel like we're often taking our lives in our hands. There are lots of visitors. People, they're distracted, don't know exactly where they're supposed to turn, aren't aware of where the crosswalks are. And this crosswalk is marked, but not in any sort of special way. So there were a bunch of recommendations that the Knights brought forward. I also talked to Dan Cruikshank, who is the owner of Spoken Gear Cyclery, and on the Trees and Trails Commission. So I kind of started that conversation of, like, what should the town be thinking about for increased safety in our crosswalks? This issue is not going to go away. It's probably just going to continue to get more complicated the more people that visit here. So I know, Katya, that you're following up on this with another meeting on Monday, and it'll be an ongoing story. There were suggestions made and questions asked about what could we do in the short term immediately to increase safety in our crosswalks.
Right, given that there's going to be some long-term pretty major changes in the whole walkway, and also given that MnDOT really owns the road, seeing as it's the Highway 61 scenic highway, which complicates things, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, this stuff that the city can do is put a little bit more jazzy lights and bells and whistles and speed limit signs. That MnDOT would allow that, but the city would have to do it and make it so and pay for it.
Yep. And so
law
that
enforcement is the other part of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
I guess local law enforcement would be responsible for ticketing people and fining people if they went through a crosswalk without yielding.
Ah, yes. Which I would say probably is rare in this town. That is for people to stop, to not stop and have that be, there be a consequence for that. I do know that when I cross, there's often people stop and often people don't stop. I get lots of both.
Yeah. And the rare part you're saying is law enforcement enforcing that.
Right. I mean, I don't even know when I've seen anybody around to enforce it.
Well, and really what, yeah, exactly. And really what happened to Lisa is what I often see, and probably you too as well. She got to the entry of the crosswalk, looked to her left, saw that lane saw her, made eye contact. They stopped. She began to go, and another car approached from the other direction, and they just didn't see her. And she was already, you know, in there.
Yeah.
So that's what I see. One-way stops. The person feels comfortable to begin to move in, and then another car from the other direction just is oblivious.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's scary out there.
I will also say I didn't even know there was a crosswalk there until this accident happened, which, so you do kind of miss things. Like, I was amazed actually to know that I was not even aware there was a crosswalk there, having passed it thousands of times.
Exactly. And what's likely to happen in the short term is quite probably some discussion has already started about putting a cone type deal saying crosswalk that you kind of can't miss right in the middle between the two lanes, a temporary kind of a deal. We see the as some of the other crosswalks in town. That should help. Other suggestions have been the flashing lights when somebody pushes the button, like we have up on Highway 2, up closer to the school at a crosswalk. I can't really miss that at all. And then another suggestion is a speed limit sign, although a digital one, although speed was determined to not be a factor in the report made by law enforcement in this situation.
All right. Well, continuing on the topic of roads, we have a lot of road issues in Two Harbors and throughout Lake County. As just about everyone is aware, we have a lot of plans and we have now some delays.
Yeah, and I think you should take this one, Katya, because okay. You wrote the article.
I did write the article, and that came out of a county board meeting. Jason DePiazza, he's the county highway engineer. It always does a good job of explaining why there might be delays. Delays are maybe inevitable, especially in this time, I think. But anyway, the story is that there are quite a few roads that either in the planning process, there have been delays, often because once they really look at a project, they see something that's more complex, so then they have to go to somebody else and learn more, or it might end up being more expensive. And then, of course, there's supply chain issues, and they're also short-staffed significantly in the highway department. So bottom line is that there's certain roads in town, in the town of Two Harbors, that had been slated to get worked on this summer that will be either bid this summer and maybe start in the fall, or often bid in the fall and start in the spring. And Jason did point out to me that this does allow us to apply again, or sometimes not again, for some different types of funding that may not have come to us this year. So ultimately, it may end up being less expensive. But that wasn't a guarantee either. But so this was really just an informative, you know, may not feel like good news to people, but important for people to know what's going on and why.
Keeping an eye on it. I have a question for you, Katya, on this article, since I've read it already. All of the projects that you outlined, were there all city projects, and then you had the county highway engineer commenting on them?
Correct. And
you bring out
Achilles' heel in my understanding, Kitty, because I've always wondered, are these city roads or county roads? And I'm not sure. It does seem like Jason's in charge of all of them. But that is a really good question that we'll get answered at some point.
I would say Jason's not in charge of all of them, but it is confusing which roads within city limits of Two Harbors and Silver Bay as well are county roads. So some streets are. I think that would be another really good article. Like, I'm sure Jason has a map.
Yeah.
I'm sure Joe Ryan at the City Hall has a map as well. Of whose is what, because that does, but they have to work together. So
right.
That's, I think, why Jason has to stay on top of it.
Right. Yeah, that is a good topic. I think probably there are others interested in that as well. This is how you and I get going, Kitty, and this is how articles get generated in the paper. We're kind of having our meeting right here in a public meeting.
Yep.
All right, CHC, don't even know what that stands for, but the life of the community, Community Health Center, tell us about it.
And that is telling, I think, Katya, that you don't know what CHC is, because it was once just part of the lexicon of Two Harbors and for a lot of people in Lake County. The Community Health Center first came to be in 1944, and this is my second edition of this ongoing saga that I've undertaken to sort of report on the history of healthcare services in Lake County. It's a long one. It stretches way, way back. And I didn't even start at the beginning, because there was a hospital and healthcare situation with the railroad before 1944. But in 1944, something really kind of critical happened, and the people of Two Harbors said, wait a minute, the railroad isn't going to have a hospital anymore. These doctors are retiring. We're not going to have a hospital or a clinic or doctors. We got to do something. And they started a co-op, and that was the Community Health Center. And until 17 years ago when I moved here, I was still hearing people call their health plan, CHC, and calling the clinic, which at the time that I moved here was called the Superior Health Clinic. I was hearing them call that the CHC. So it became understood by generations of Lake County residents that this is just where they got their health care, and they paid a dues. They paid a monthly dues every month. That's how it started. And anything else they needed was taken care of by their doctors at the clinic or the hospital here. So there's a lot of twists and turns in there. I've been doing major archaeological deep dives and having lots of really interesting interviews with people who know all about this history. So that kind of is just to let people know, like, what we have right now and where did it come from, and how it changed along the way, how it was impacted. This is one of the biggest things that amazes me, how healthcare in specifically in Two Harbors was impacted by the really rapid technological advances. Then specialists came into being. Like, we all of a sudden understood a whole lot more about medicine and science. Just this explosion that changed healthcare, that changed insurance, that changed HMOs, that changed everything. How does that get billed? How do the referrals get made? It was all before my time, so it was really interesting for me to learn about that.
Yeah,
and there will be more. I would like to say, well, we're going to have next week or the week after, we're going to get into talking about the doctors who recently retired, a group of five, and kind of go through a little bit of their history.
Yeah.
Over the most recent generations.
Well, I know people have a lot of attachment to healthcare in our town, and in the number of people that have claimed being born in this house or that house, this house that was a hospital, this house that was a hospital, and I mean, just the buildings alone are meaningful to people. And I've got to believe that once this is written out, it's going to be an interesting, I don't know if it's a blueprint's a word, but like just to see the history of medicine through the century, through a small rural community. I mean, we probably hear a lot more about the big cities than the small rural communities and what it looks like. So look forward to reading that.
Yeah, thanks, Katya. Above and beyond the interest of news with these doctors kind of all retiring at once and a group of new doctors coming, that's news to me. But the people that have this history in their heads really kept egging me on to write this down for posterity, to document, you know, how it went, what happened. And that's been quite a heavy lift, but I think it's important to do.
Great. All right, we have a District 1 open seat for our county. We had a debate. I hear it was well attended and informative, and you're going to report on that.
Yep, I gave a short report because it ended up running over an hour. I think it was an hour and 20 minutes. I was there in attendance. This was held in Finland at the St. Clair Center, at the community center up there. There are six candidates for District 1. Most people know by now, if they're in District 1, that their commissioner died in January. That was Pete Walsh. So that has created an opportunity for a new person to come in. And there will be a primary election on August 8th. We winnow it down to two people who will then go on to the general election on November 7th. And only the people in District 1 can vote for this. There were more than 50 people there. I was amazed. They came from all over. There's a big Fall Lake representation, Crystal Bay Township, Finland, of course, and Silver Bay. There were a lot of people there. It was very lively, and it's difficult to report on that, tell you what these candidates are about in that amount of space. But I did pick one question. They were posed a question about housing. I thought that seemed like a pertinent one, that we'd want to hear from each person what their ideas were about housing, and I shared their answers in the paper this week. Also, where you can go to watch or listen to this, because it was live streamed on KTWH.
Yes.
And KTWH YouTube channel, and I believe Jose probably by now has it up on the thpact.org website where you can watch a recording.
Great. I just love how accessible these things are now. Thank you, Jose, one more time. And then, Kitty, before we run out of time, Green Burials Part 2. The story has not ended yet. Sounds like we get a Part 2 from Sydney Hendren.
Yes, I'm so excited. Sydney wanted to keep digging into this and learning for herself, which I think is always a great opportunity to inform readers about what anything is. In this case, green burials or natural burials, or read between the lines. That means like no formaldehyde injections and draining of the blood, or being encased in a super constructed casket with plastics and metals, or a vault. Okay, so you'll have to check out this great article she did about the benefits of natural burials. She got to talk to former Senator Carolyn Lane, who was instrumental in passing some key legislation a few years ago. And I think it's a great read. And I think she's going to do at least one more, maybe two more articles about it.
Yeah, it's actually a bigger topic than I think most people realize. We don't think a whole lot about it the same way we don't think a whole lot about the end of life. So I'm excited that we're focusing on that a little bit. Thanks so much, Kitty. Is there anything else?
Oh, there's always more to the story, Katya, but I'll save it for next week.
Sounds good. This is Kitty Mayo, the editor of the Lake County Press. I'm Katya Gordon from KTWH, speaking with you for the week of July 24th.
28th.
But now it's the 27th. 28th. It'll be the 28th. Thank you. You take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Kitty Mayo, and I'm Katya Gordon from KTWH.